Well, I just love some of the serendipity that God has already brought this morning between the reading of the scripture, between the prayers, between the songs that Phil picked out for this morning. And I think we'll see a few of these threads coming together. Now, I was glad to read earlier this spring in the Lurgan Mail a report from the PSNI, which gladly reported that crime overall in Craigavon has gone down 7%. Praise God for that. Unfortunately, overall, drug trafficking, which has been caught by the PSNI at least, has gone up by over twofold. And you may have heard also rumors about some burglaries and thefts of homes and businesses in our area in recent weeks, including Farmgate Meats in Marlin, which had their locker broken into one night and several sides of beef stolen. And apparently the rumor is it's related to those needing money for drugs. So, of course, this is not a problem that we have only here in Northern Ireland. I was listening to BBC World Service earlier this week, and they had this incredible story about Mexico called Exercising the Narco Devil. Now, who is the Narco Devil? Well, the Narco Devil, here she is in all her glory. It's a modern-day idol that has really just sprung up, especially in the last 10 years, in Mexico, in the United States, and different parts of the world. And typically, she's displayed as a skeleton robed in different colors of different kinds of robes and so forth. And people, especially in Mexico, are flocking to her shrines to worship her. Officially, she's known as Santa Muerto, which means Saint Death. And, you know, here in Northern Ireland, our population, if we put together Northern Ireland and the Republic, we have about 8 million people. Well, in Mexico, they number 8 million devotees of Santa Muerto. So the same population on this island is the number of people who in Mexico are devoted to the worship of this idol. And they come by the thousands to worship her at her shrines across Mexico. And when they come to worship her, many even come on their knees, making pilgrimage to her shrines to give her offerings, to pray to her, to sing her praises. And some people, even in their own homes, have shrines where they have life-size idols of Santa Muerto in their living rooms. So if you can imagine, here is a home in Mexico where they have not only a little shrine devoted to her, but they have a life-size idol of her in the corner of their living room. And you might be able to tell in that picture, there's three little boys apparently in that family. So if you can imagine, it's not just the adults who are being influenced and devoted to her, but another generation is being led to believe that this is somebody who is worthy of their devotion, of their life. Now, people turn to her and exalt her because they feel they have nowhere else to turn. And when they pray for things, and when these things come to pass, because make no mistake about it, God does allow Satan to have power in this world, in this age. And he does allow people to make choices to follow his power or other powers. When things happen that they pray for, they don't realize what is happening. They're convinced that she is worthy of their devotion. They fail to realize that she is simply using them. And they fail to realize this only when it's too late, after their bodies have been taken over, after they're possessed, after they speak in a voice that is not their own, and they do things that they don't want to do. One woman in the interview on the radio show, Rosalia, said that she used to worship Santa Muerto, and she was one of many in this cult who became possessed by a demonic spirit. She went through an exorcism, and after the exorcism, Rosalia gave this testimony. She said, "I feel better now. I felt that something had gotten inside of me. It was like some other person took control of my body. I don't remember the things I said or did." Now, if someone wants somebody else to take control of their lives, if you are in a spot in your life where you just want to give up control over your life and you want somebody else to come in and take control of your life, there are more than plenty of things out there willing and ready to do that. Whether it's drugs or alcohol or satanic worship or devils, there's plenty of things out there ready to oblige, to take control over your life. But not God. It's not Yahweh. It's not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit. See, the deceiver of our souls would love us to think that Yahweh, our God, the God of the Bible, all that he really wants from us to control us, to control our lives and take over the mess in our lives. But nothing could be further from the truth. You see, God's way is different. When God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, remember your Sunday school stories? The bush didn't burn up, did it? The bush was not consumed by the presence and glory of God. Now, before I move on here, I want to reread the four verses that we're supposed to focus on today from Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 49. I want to reread these from a different translation, one that Gareth used a few months ago. It's called the Kingdom New Testament, which is a new translation by Bishop Tom Wright. And I want to use his words because I think his translation helps to simplify and clarify the Greek text in Luke here. So here's the text for us. The Virgin Mary said, "My soul declares that the Lord is great. My spirit exults in my Savior, my God. He saw his servant girl in her humility. From now on, I'll be blessed by all peoples to come. The powerful one, whose name is holy, has done great things for me." Just as Moses' bush was not consumed and burned up by the presence of God, Mary, who bears God, was not consumed and burned up by the presence of God. Rather, she was transformed. She is full of joyful exuberance. She knows now that God cares for her, and she can say that she is blessed. You see, God does not tell Mary he wants to come into her life and control her like a robot. He's not saying he's going to come in and take over her life. God invites her to bear Jesus in her life. And in so doing, in accepting this invitation to bear Jesus in her life, she can say that God has done great things for me. She can say that she is blessed. Now, earlier in Luke's opening chapter, Gabriel the angel prophesies about the conception of a baby who will become John the Baptizer. And Gabriel declares this, that John will be a great man in God's sight. And during John's second trimester in his mother's womb, Gabriel prophesies about the conception of Jesus. And he declares that Jesus will be a great man, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And then, of course, we have Mary's declaration that the Lord is great and has done great things for me. This is nothing short of amazing, folks. This is the type of God that we have. Our great God, as great and awesome and powerful as he is, he is more than happy to call others great. He's more than happy to share his greatness with others. He is eager to do great things in our lives. Now, every drug lord in Mexico or Northern Ireland, every terrorist in the world, and every satanic spirit, they are not in the business of making others great. But Yahweh is. Our God is in the business of making us great. He's in the business of doing great things for us. And it's not just for Jesus who will be called great. It's not just for superstars like John the Baptizer and Mary. Later on in Luke, Jesus declares this in his ministry. The one who is least in God's kingdom is greater than he is greater than John the Baptizer. The one who is least is greater than even John. Sisters and brothers, that's you. That's me. God wants to magnify your life. God wants to make you great. No matter how humble of a life you think you lead, God wants to take you and make each of you great. He wants to take your life and do great things in your life. And the place to start is for us to be like Mary. We're invited, not unlike Mary, to do the same thing she did, to bear God in our lives. The Blessed Virgin Mary gave birth to the actual Christ child, and we are invited to give birth to Jesus, as it were, in our lives, every single day. During this Advent season, in the next few days here, I want you to have this question in the back of your minds. How can I bear Jesus in my life? What can you do this week before we gather again next Sunday to bear Jesus in your life, in your daily life? The more we bear Jesus in our lives, the more full of exaltation we will be. The more you bear Jesus in your life, the more you will know that God cares about the humble parts of your life. The more you bear Jesus in your life, the more blessed you will be. And the more you bear Jesus in your life,
the greater you will be. And the more we as a congregation bear Jesus in our life, the greater our congregation will be. Now, just to close out today, I want to share a couple testimonies. Melanie, if you'd come up here. And a couple weeks ago, you know, I shared a word that I believe God wanted to share with a larger group of people about healing for something. And Melanie has a wee testimony to share with us this morning.
Well, it was just a thing, but 2 weeks ago that Harry had said that he felt there was somebody in church that had a right hip pain in their right hip. And, well, my son Josh, and he's given me his permission to share this with you, he'd had a really bad football injury on the Saturday, and it was his right hip. And the physio had said to him that he was going to be in absolute agony, and he wouldn't be playing football for another 2 weeks. So he actually wasn't in Dollingstown, he was down in Marilyn. It was the BB enrollment. So I wasn't sure if Harry was going to share the same thing down there, but he did. And when we were having our lunch later that day, I'd asked Josh, I said, did Harry mention anything about a right hip? And he said, yes, he had. And he says, Mum, I did think maybe that was me. And I said, did you go for prayer for healing? And he said, no, well, I couldn't really. It was with the BB. And so we as a family, we just laid hands on him and we prayed for him there and then that he would receive God's healing. And as the day went on, his hip eased. Harry had said, if it doesn't go away straight away, keep praying. So later that night, we prayed for him again. And then when he came in from school on Monday, I asked him how his hip was, and he kind of forgotten about it. He says, Mum, it's completely gone. It's fine. So he played football for BB on the Tuesday, no bother, and he went for his training on Wednesday, and the physio really couldn't, he was not expecting, they weren't expecting to see him there at all. So it's just to give the praise and the glory to God for that. And out of that, God has used Josh to be able to pray in faith for his granny. So that's just been the wonderful thing, and I think that's the important thing that we share about how great our God is. And you know, Mary in that reading was saying, "No, God has done great things." And I think, you know, we heard you know, the negatives about how, you know, the in Mexico and worshiping things that have no power ultimately, and yet we have the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We have the truth. And it is the truth that sets us free. And we are going to be having prayer ministry every week at the front. And I would just really encourage you. Last night, God just brought to my mind, I think about Christmas time and the gifts that we love to buy for other people, and especially our children. We love to shower them with gifts. And God just brought to my mind, you know, how much more, is that verse in the New Testament, how much more does our Father in heaven want to give us good gifts? And I just think we don't want the enemy to be the one that, you know, we've seen all that on the screen this morning. He hasn't got, but we have the truth. And God wants to do great things, and he wants to bless us way more than we can ever imagine. So I'd encourage you this morning, if there's anything at all, whether it's for healing or any kind of an obstacle or a hindrance that's in your life that you want God to really break through, just come to the front, because we serve the one true God.
Thank you, Melanie, would you be willing to pray after service this morning for folks? Okay. If somebody else could join Melanie up here and just offer prayer for anybody who wants to come forward for that. Let me just share another testimony with you. Several days ago, I was going up to the Royal cardiac ICU, and I was going in to see one of our parishioners, and out of the ICU was coming another Church of Ireland minister, and he stopped me, and he was just glowing with happiness on his face, and he just had to tell me that he had just been in the ICU to visit one of his parishioners. This is the minister from Achalee, and he told me that that morning, this parishioner of his was supposed to go in for a triple bypass and
for the removal of a tumor on the side of her heart. And of course, as a preliminary to opening her up for the surgery, they went in first with a scope to make sure that they knew where the blockages were and everything, and where the tumor was and how it had developed and so forth before they opened her up. And when they went in with the scope, all three blockages for the triple bypass were totally 100% gone, and the tumor was 100% gone. And so we just praise God with the folks in Akali who were praying for their sister in Christ, for God's love and miracles that remind us about who he is and who is really the powerful one in our world. Now, I want to just offer out a few encouragements for those of you who may be having some pains and aches this morning, specifically for anybody who has pain in the kind of the middle of your right side of your head, and then somebody in the left side of your head, maybe behind the eye area. We call that the prefrontal cortex of your brain. In the left side, behind your left eye, you have pain. And then anybody who has pain in their left shoulder, and also anybody who still is ailing with their right hip, just encourage you to come forward this morning for prayer. We declare healing in Jesus' name. He is the one who is great. He is the one who wants to make us great. He's the one who wants to do great things through us for his glory and in his name. Amen.